I made a pledge sometime back. And that pledge was that I was no longer going to go see scary movies. Why, I asked myself, why? Why go and pay to be scared? I didn't enjoy it. I didn't like sitting in a movie theater wondering what was going to happen next, sitting there anxious and tense. Why do that to yourself? And so I no longer watch scary movies. Haven't for years. Have no interest in them. Halloween has become a big business in so many ways. So many ways we see how it's commercialized. I was reading recently that up in the Phoenix area there are like 10 or 12 professional haunted houses. Now these are places where you spend $20 or more to go through. Where you're spending money to go and be scared. So I pass on that. Not that I don't have in my heart a place for haunted mansions, but mine's in Disneyland. That's where I'll go. But in so many ways, we live with fear. There are things that we dread. There are things that we're apprehensive about. I recently saw that it was written that the number one fear that people have is public speaking. Is public speaking. The number two fear is death. This is kind of interesting. Imagine when you think of a funeral, what that pole is saying, you'd rather be in the casket than giving the eulogy. But we live with fear. We live with those things that are unknown. We live with there's things that we cannot control. So often we find ourselves thinking about illness or living alone. There's a fear of rejection or a failure. Some people have a fear of success because with success comes more expectations and more responsibilities. I read where it says we fear in proportion to our ignorance. We fear in proportion to our ignorance. We fear those things that we do not know. We fear those things that we do not understand. In so many ways, we can see that in our society in which we live, in the world around us. We fear in proportion to the things that we're ignorant about, that we don't know about, that we don't understand. Martin Luther struggled with his fears. And that came from attempts to understand God. To understand God. Now, from the years 1501 to 1515, Luther spent years in university and seminary and as a professor, of studying and learning Scripture. Of learning about God. And he was stuck with the questions of how can I have a right relationship with God? How can I find favor in God's eyes? How can I do that? Because that is what he had learned. That's what he had been taught. What must be done to have a relationship with God? What must be done to be favored by God? And he was haunted by this because he was haunted by his own sinfulness. Sinfulness is not offending a sense of morality or a prescribed right or wrong. It is said that a moralist criticizes the sins of others, while a saint criticizes his own. But when Luther thinks of this sin that he struggles with, it's a rebellion against God. That is sin. A sin is a disease that infects us. Ovid, the Roman poet, he wrote, "I see and approve of better things, but I follow the worse." And so with this sin, Luther feared this estrangement from God, of being separated from God, of not being in favor with God, and ultimately being punished by God. And so it is with that fear that sin is the force that enslaves. We are slaves often to our thoughts and our feelings and our behaviors. We attune our ears to the wrong voices. We attune ourselves to our own desires. We are slaves to sin. We do what sin likes. And so as we read in Paul's letter to the Romans, no human being will be justified in God's sight by following the law or by his or her own efforts. No one will be justified. And it was this idea that brought fear to Luther. Well aware of his sin, that would lead ultimately to punishment. A famous psychiatrist died and was met at the pearly gates by the gatekeeper, wondering then, as we all would, what would happen. And so he was asked by the gatekeeper, "Have you ever committed a sin that you truly regret?" And he said, "Well, yes, I have. As a young candidate at St. Mark's Hospital, I was asked to join on a soccer team, and we played the community hospital. And I scored the winning goal, but I was offside. The referee didn't see it, but this led to our winning the match." The gatekeeper said, "That's just a minor sin. You may enter." So the psychiatrist said, "Well, thank you, St. Peter." To which he responded, No, I'm not St. Peter. St. Peter, he's off on his lunch break. I'm St. Mark." See, he won the game for St. Mark's Hospital. No, okay. Earlier this morning, they got that right away. But you're later. And so then, Luther focused on Scripture that says, "Since all have sinned, all fall short of the glory of God. They are now justified by His grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. We are made just by His grace. God's grace, which then leads to an everlasting relationship. One that God wants with us. God seeks us out. God finds us on the street. He says, I want a relationship with you." And so Jesus says to His followers, "Continue in My word. Remain in My word. Learn." To be a disciple means to learn. To listen. To have an open mind. To be in constant study. And you will find freedom. Where we are not dominated by our emotions or the voices of others, or a disease that we know as sin. We live with sin, yes. For that we cannot escape. But all the while we live in our relationship with God.